7 of your King James Schofield Bible. Now, there's going to be many scriptures this morning. I'm going to go from the Old Testament to the New and back again and back and forth. You won't be able to keep up with me. So just jot the address down and look at it later. Or if you think you can keep up with me, you try, but I don't think you can. So there'll be many scriptures today. Great verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 15. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Now let's pray. Father, we thank you for the blessings that have been ours, and I pray that you'll fill me with thy spirit to preach your word this morning. I pray we'll keep from thinking the maybe activities we've got later on today and concentrate on the preaching of your word. Save those who may be lost, reclaim those who may be backslidden. Do a work in all of our hearts, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. My two favorite holidays are Thanksgiving and Christmas. I don't think Easter is a holiday, or I'd include it in my favorites. Well, Thanksgiving Day has come and gone. However, Thanksgiving should never be over. I see both of these holidays in our text verse for this morning. Notice it says, thanks be unto God. That's Thanksgiving. Then it goes on to say, for his unspeakable gift. That's the birth of Christ, which we call Christmas. Unless things change, and change soon, the word Christmas will be delineated from our vocabulary, our programs, our wishing others Merry Christmas. It'll be eliminated from all of our schools and our businesses, etc. I heard of a church some time ago that the pastor of the church announced that they would eliminate the word Christmas from all the songs that they sang and the preaching that they did because they didn't want to offend anybody. Can you imagine? What kind of a pastor would that be? There's a huge movement in our land to remove the name of Christ for everything it might be, everywhere it might be found. They say 80% of Americans claim to be Christians. That's about what they claim, but most of them are not born again. But if that is true, I wonder where they are. If that be true, then why are they letting this happen without a fight? We indeed are living in unbelievable times. But I, for one, will not let anyone stop me from celebrating Christmas or saying Merry Christmas or buying. I will not buy Christmas cards that have the words Happy Holiday or Season's Greetings. I don't know about you, but I refuse to purchase a Christmas card that doesn't say Merry Christmas or at least have the word Christmas somewhere in the card. Dear folks, we must keep Christ in Christmas. If we don't do it now, we may not be able to do it later on. Whatever happened to the good old United States of America that I've always known and loved, and the freedom of expression to so deeply believe in that we really believe in that. Well, anyway, that's not my message for this morning. I didn't charge you anything extra for it, so just. And none of these things will keep me from enjoying my favorite time of the year. I love Christmas. I love all the Christmas music. I love all the sights and sounds surrounding Christmas. I can't remember in any of my 81 Christmases that I haven't enjoyed. Of course, the reason that I love Christmas so much is the reason for the season, and that's my beloved Savior. Okay, we're going to start looking at scriptures now. Turn to Matthew 22. Matthew 22. That'll be on page number 1031. Matthew 22, page 1031. I'm going to begin reading in verse 35 and following. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Ask you a question. Do you really love him? Do you love your kids? Are you ashamed of them? Do you ever talk to others about your kids? Of course you do. Would you die for one of your kids if need be? Of course, the answer to all those questions is yes. Well, our great God and Savior expects us to love Him even more than that. All of us are going to go shopping these next few days. Maybe some of you already have. And we're going to go purchase gifts for our loved ones, and we're going to spend a lot of money, but it doesn't matter because we want to give gifts to those that we love. Well, so does God. Our text verse says, "Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift." God giving His Son to purchase our salvation is the most unspeakable gift the world has ever known. That gift is what our Heavenly Father gives to us. Listen, turn with me to Romans chapter number 6, please, now. Romans 6, page 1199. Romans chapter 6, page 1199. And look at the last part of verse number 23. Romans 6, the last part of verse 23. But the gift, a gift is something you can't pay for, you can't earn. It is absolutely free. For the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. God the Father is the greatest gift giver of all time. Millions of people this year will spend hundreds of dollars buying gifts for others while they refuse the gift of salvation that the Lord offers them free and clear. Christmas, then, has been, if there was no Christmas, there'd be no Calvary. If there was no Calvary, there'd be no second coming. Then all of us would still be in our sins and headed for a Christless eternity. I am so glad Christ was born. I'm so glad He conquered death, hell, and the grave. I'm so glad He's coming back one day soon. Amen. The advent of the Christ child is told in the book of Isaiah. And I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 9 in the Old Testament. A lot about Christ, it says. Page 721. And then keep your finger there in Isaiah chapter 9 because we'll be coming back there in a few minutes. Isaiah chapter 9, page 721. And look at verse number 6. Isaiah 9 and verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now go over just a little bit to your right to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. And look at verse number 2. Isaiah 9, verse 2. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. That great light is our great Christ. Now go back to the New Testament, keeping something there in Isaiah 9. Go back to the New Testament, to John chapter 1, John's Gospel, and the first chapter. Be on page 1114 of your King James Scofield Bible. John's Gospel, the first chapter, beginning in verse 6 and following. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came to bear witness for a witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now, to John, over a little bit to John chapter 8. John 8, and look at verse number 12. John 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now go over a little bit further to John chapter 9. A little bit to your right, a couple of pages, John 9. Look at verse 5. Jesus, of course, is speaking, and he says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Over a few more pages to your right to John 12. John chapter 12. Look at verse number 46. Jesus says, I am come a light unto the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And then go over a little bit further to Acts chapter 4. Page 1153, Acts chapter 4, page 1153, verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Our Lord is given many names in the Bible. Which one was His most wonderful name? All of His names culminate in the one glorious name, Jesus. Go to Matthew chapter 1 now, please. Page 994. Matthew chapter 1, page 994, and verse number 21. Matthew 1, verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now I want to look at a couple different witnesses and what they have to say concerning our wonderful Savior. Go back to Isaiah 9 again now. Great, great book of Isaiah that tells us so much about the coming Savior. Page 721, Isaiah 9, look at verse 6 with me again. For unto us a child is born. That speaks of his humanity. Unto us a son is given. That speaks of his deity. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Keeping your finger there in Isaiah 9, go back to the New Testament again. Luke chapter 1, page 1071. Luke's Gospel, the first chapter, page 1071, verse 30 and 31. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Now go with me to Philippians in the New Testament, Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2, that's on page 1258. Philippians chapter 2, page 1258. I'm going to read verses 9 and 10. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth. Now return again to Isaiah 9. Isaiah 9, turn back there again, please. You got something there, I'm sure. You should have anyway. I want us to look at a few things here in verse number 6. The Old Testament prophet gives our Lord several names in Isaiah 9 and verse 6. He first of all calls him Wonderful. He is wonderful in his Godhead body. He is wonderful in his position as the second person of the Holy Trinity. He's just altogether wonderful. Isaiah then calls him Counselor. He is all wise in all things. Then he says he is the Mighty God. When you think of all his achievements, such as creating this world of ours and the vast universe, then the term Mighty God sure does fit Jesus Christ. Then Isaiah calls him the Everlasting Father. Did you know that Christ is the same age as the Heavenly Father? Neither of them had a beginning. They both have always existed from eternity past to eternity future. You can go back into eternity as far as you can go, and Christ will be there. Or you can go forward back way out into eternity, and Christ will be there. They both are eternal. So Christ is the Everlasting Father. Then next, Isaiah calls the Lord the Prince of Peace. Now we got to go back to the New Testament again, to Romans chapter 5. Romans 5, page 1197. Romans chapter 5, page 1197, and verse number 1. Romans 5, 1 is speaking about the peace that we have in salvation. All right, let's look. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then go over to Philippians chapter 4 with me, page 1260, and it mentions that inner peace that the Lord gives us when we belong to him. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. And one day, this Prince of Peace returns to this earth, and we will have eternal, everlasting peace. Wouldn't it be great If we could have real peace in this world today. There is no peace in our world today. Turn with me now to Micah chapter 4 in the Old Testament, near the end of the Old Testament, page 948. Micah chapter 4. Micah 4 and verse number 3, page 948. And he shall judge among many people and rebuke strong nations afar off. And there shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Viewed in his Godhead, viewed in his humanity, viewing him as the God-man, our Lord is wonderful. He's wonderfully great in his creation. Turn with me to the little book of Ephesians, chapter 3, page 1252. Page 1252, Ephesians chapter 3. And look at me at verse number 9, Ephesians 3, 9, page 1252. And make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. He is the creator of all things. Let's go to John chapter 1. Gospel of John chapter 1, page 1114 in your King James Scofield Bible. John chapter 1 and verse number 3. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Now go over to your right a little bit from John and stop at Hebrews, the first chapter. Hebrews chapter 1, page 1291. It's 1291 in your King James Scofield Bible. Hebrews 1, beginning in verse number 1. God, who at sundry times and in different manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being in the express of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. How wonderful our Lord was in his humanity. Miracle after miracle did he perform. He healed many that were sick. He gave sight to the blind. He gave hearing to the deaf. He gave limbs to the lame. He raised some from the dead physically, and millions spiritually via the new birth. He stilled the storms. He cleansed the leper. He raised Lazarus from the dead. What a wonderful, wonderful God. Wonderful name he bears. Wonderful crown he wears. Wonderful love of my wonderful Lord. I can say along with the prophet Isaiah what he says in Isaiah chapter 25. Will you look at this great verse with me, please? Isaiah chapter 25, be on page 734, 734, Isaiah chapter 25, great verse, verse number 1. O Lord, thou art my God, I will exalt thee, I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. He is wonderful in creation. He's wonderful in his humanity. He is wonderful in his Godhead. The Apostle John, writing probably from Ephesus and looking back from the year about 90 A.D., penned these words. I want you to look at them with me. In 1 John this time, not the Gospel of John, but 1 John, page 1325. 1 John chapter 5, page 1325. And I'm going to read verse number 20. 1 John chapter 5, page 1325, verse number 20. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. The same apostle, by inspiration, wrote these words in John's Gospel, chapter 1. Now go back from 1 John to John's Gospel, page 1114. 1114, John chapter 1 and verse number 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the one that became the babe in the manger. Oh my, what an event that was. He is spoken of as the Lord from heaven. This little baby is spoken of as the Lord from heaven. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 2. First of all, though, let's go to 1 Corinthians 15, please. 1 Corinthians 15. I don't want to miss this one. 1 Corinthians 15, page 1227. 1227, 1 Corinthians 15. And look with me at verse number 47. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 47. The first man is of the earth, earthly. That's speaking of Adam. The second man, Christ, is the Lord from heaven. He was declared equal with God the Father. Now go to Colossians chapter 2, page 1264. Colossians chapter 2, page 1264, and verse number 9. Colossians 2, verse 9, page 1264. For in him, that is in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Our Lord's amazing condescension into the human family emphasizes the love and purpose for our redemption in the heart of God. Look one more verse. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians 1, page 1241. Galatians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. Galatians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. Who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Down from his glory, ever-living story, my God and Savior came, and Jesus is his name. How can we not love Christmas? How can we not love Calvary? How can we not love his resurrection? How can we not love his coming back one day? He is altogether wonderful. Do you know this wonderful Savior as your Lord and Savior? Have you ever put your whole faith and trust in him and what he did on Calvary's cross, where he shed his blood, suffered a broken body? Do you know him personally and intimately? You can. I hope you will. What a great time to come to know Christ during this Christmas season. And if you've never done that, I hope that you will. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth. We thank you for that great event that we call Christmas, when Christ came down from heaven and lived among men for a few years. And thank you for that old rugged cross where he paid our sin debt for us. How thankful we are, Lord. Help us to never take it for granted what it cost you for our salvation. It's free gift to us, but it cost you everything. It cost the Father his Son, and his Son his life. What a payment he had to pay so we could go to heaven one day. Now I pray you'd bless the invitation as only you can do. Help folks make decisions that 100 years from today, they'll be glad that they made. Bless the invitation as we sing a few invitational hymns. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand, please? It's without apology that we have an open invitation on Sunday mornings. If you're not sure about your salvation, if you'll come forward and let us know, we can help you with that. Maybe you'd like to use this altar. I don't know what the Lord has laid upon your heart, but you do what he tells you to do as we sing a couple of verses of an invitational hymn together, please.